This morning the Lord has led me to a very special passage which deals with a subject we are celebrating right now in America. Freedom. Independence. And it is just tomorrow, it is amazing to know that tomorrow will be from 1776 to this time, 240 years old. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. That's almost as old as James Wofford at Dallas. What was the Revolutionary War like? Joe, I know you weren't born yet, okay, brother? Dallas and James, what was the Revolutionary War like? We'll pay for that, aren't I? Dallas, who was our oldest church member, told me I'd do that one more time to get coming back. I said, no, there's probably more likely that I won't be coming back than you. We may not be the nation that our Heavenly Father intended, but we are still a people that can celebrate freedom and love freedom. And after all, we are free to choose so many things. We are free to choose whether to speak and to pretty much say what we want to, and even beyond what some of us think we ought to be able to. We're free to publish pretty much anything. We're free to go almost anywhere we desire. We're free to worship whomever or whatever we like. We're free. And we thank God for those freedoms. We thank God for those that fought and sacrificed and died to make us free. So we are celebrating freedom. We are free. Or are we? If you ask most Americans today, are we free? They would say yes. But if the truth be known, yes, we are politically free. Yes, as Americans, we're free of some things. But God would say that the majority of folks in this nation are not free. And no, we're not talking about prejudice. And we're not talking about those that are imprisoned in physical prisons. God would say no, and the reason He would is that while we have freedoms as a national people, we aren't really free. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what do you mean? Have you lost your mind, probably? How are most Americans not really free? Well, we are free in a sense, but not truly free. And Jesus spoke about that in the Gospel of John. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 31, Jesus speaks about freedom, but it's not about American freedom or the freedom of the Jews or the freedom of any other people. He speaks about the reality of what you and I need to know is true freedom. Because you see, one of these days, you and I are going to end our journey as Americans, and then we'll find out how free we really are. So, as we look at the passage, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples." As Jesus is doing this, what He's saying is, He's talking to a group of people that had become followers of His. They were heavily Jewish. They understood their Jewish mindset. They understood the Jewish way. But He says, I want to tell you about true freedom. And listen to what He says in verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, I want you to see how they responded. They responded like many Americans would, because if I walked up to them and said to most Americans, are you free? They say, sure, I'm free. I'm an American citizen. I was born here. I live under the Constitution and under the protections of the government. I'm a free person. Listen to what Jesus says, though, as He answers them in their way. They answered Him first, saying, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we'll never become free? And what I find interesting about that passage, which really doesn't have a lot to do with the end part of the message, is they seem to have forgotten a whole bunch of years enslaved to the Egyptians and to the Babylonians for 70 years there and some others. So I find it interesting that they say this, but Jesus said to them in verse 34, "Truly I say to you that everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." Verse 35, he says, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever." And what he's talking about here is that the slave is enslaved. The son, he's speaking of himself. He says, "I'm free. And I'm here to offer you real quick." Now, we want to look at this because I want to tell you that. Now, listen to what he says in verse 36. "So if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed." Jesus talking to them about real freedom, not about political freedom, not about freedom because of a government, not about freedom because you're oppressing another people. Freedom from what? It's a very simple, short message. But it is that most folks are not free. Most of the people you would encounter today or tomorrow or the next week are not free. Because America, by the statistics, is becoming more and more diverse. Nothing wrong with that. But more and more lost all the time. The Southern Baptist Convention just got through meeting. And it is our gathering of those that choose to go to the convention. And it really is the only 2 days. It's only really 2 days at the Southern Baptist Convention that Baptists exist. And what we have to report is our baptisms are down, our numbers are down, everything seems to be down. I'm glad to say here at Holloway's that ours are actually up and all the way up, and that's a good thing. But what are we not free from? We have freedom of press, freedom of this, freedom of that, freedom of this, freedom of that. We're not free from the one thing that enslaves every, not just American, but every one ever born. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the required penalty of our individual fallenness, our sinfulness. You see, there are millions of Americans out there who are living under the freedom of the flag and freedom of the government, but they are not truly free. I'm here to tell you today, I am truly free. I not only am free as an American, and I live under the freedoms of the American flag, but I live under the freedoms of the banner of Christ and the cross of Christ. Amen. I know what true freedom is, and that's why it burns in my heart. And some say, "Well, how do you say we're not free?" Romans 3:23, you don't need to turn, says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That means we're all in the same boat. We're all enslaved, whether we think so or not. You see, we're no different. Americans who are enslaved and really aren't free are no different than Muslims. They're no different than Jews. They're no different than Buddhists or others. And you say, "Well, how are we different? Aren't we all going the same place, the same way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We're not free. All of us are born with a sinful nature, and the graphic reality of that is found in Romans 6:23 when it says that the wages of sin is death. And what he's talking about, we're all going to die. If we don't die, it's because the catching away of the saints came, and those that aren't free aren't going to, they're going to die anyway. And that would be through the rapture. But we're all going to experience physical death. But what Jesus is talking about and what the freedom he's offering here to the Jews, and we were talking about today, so that we can be truly free, is the freedom from the penalty of sin. And the freedom from the penalty of sin, you know, some people go, "Well, I don't believe in hell, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that," is eternal separation from God. And whether you believe in a literal hell or not, and all this and that, "Well, I don't believe in that." Well, I usually tell folks it really doesn't matter what you believe. God said it, that just kind of settles it. I didn't make it up, but the idea of being eternally separated from the Father, that's not freedom. That is enslavement. In fact, in Revelation 20, verse 14, he speaks of what is known of the freedom book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And he goes down and Jesus speaks of a time when the sentence of our freedom is going to be known. It says that we're all going to come and we're going to stand before the great white judgment throne. And it says the books are going to be opened. And another book is going to be opened that we know is the Lamb's Book of Life, that those of us that have been in the church, and in that Lamb's Book of Life, written in the blood-soaked fingers of the Lord Jesus Christ, is your name and my name if you are truly free. But what it says at the end says, and if anyone's name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are cast out. They're sentenced to eternity without God and eternity in punishment. Well, I don't believe that. Well, it really doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe in that sense, in your own personal nature. That doesn't make it not true. I don't believe in gravity. Do you believe in gravity? I don't believe in gravity. I believe if I flap my arms, I'm going to fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. You go, you're crazy. I'm not as crazy as some people that don't believe what this book is trying to warn them. Jesus here is not saying, hey, then I'm some big mean God up there just waiting to punish you. I'm just waiting till it comes to the end to get you. He says, no, as an American, you're free. But he said, let me make you not just as an American, but let me make all people free. Let me offer you true freedom. The freedom of a personal relationship with your God. Millions of Americans think they're free and they're not. Now, very quickly, I'm going to close this message. If what I'm saying is not true, or it's just my opinion, or it's just our opinion, then it's really not true that everybody in America is free and everybody gets to choose and everybody goes, then I got news for you. It's time to do this. Somebody get the back ones for me. Time to cut off the lights. And go home. Because we're wasting our time. And I've wasted the last 34 years of my life when I would have been a slick lawyer. I'd have been as crooked as a mountain road, but I'd have been a good lawyer. Except the judge would have held me in contempt, and now I can't see the rest of my message because I cut the lights off. If what is in this book and what you and I hold to and what we believe is true, and if you're truly free, then you need to celebrate not just American independence freedom today, you need to celebrate the freedom you have in Christ because of a personal relationship with Him, and He has made you free from the penalty of sin. And that is a wonderful thing. And you may be sitting here today and you may say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I am 61 and a half years old, or maybe even more than a half. And since 9, I've been free. So what's the message for those of us that truly are free? Live like it. Too many of us who truly are free, who have experienced the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, we've been washed in the blood, walk around and we live defeated lives. It's like we have a tombstone under one arm and a coffin under another. I love to go out to lunch. Now, they won't do it with Rose. They won't talk when Rose is out there where I can hear it. Or maybe it's that I'm trying to pay attention to my wife, but I am ambidextrous. I can hear a conversation at this table, and I can hear a conversation at this table. I can. That's called eavesdropping, or I don't know. What else do you call it? Nosy? I know what y'all thinking. And they're talking about, you know, this and this and this and that, and you know, but they're not free. Are we truly free? If we're truly free, that is such good news. Jesus called it good news. Then it's something we ought to want to share. Because, folks, in America, that's what we're all about. Sharing the good news of true freedom. What an opportunity we have this week, right now, maybe today, when somebody starts, maybe you strike up a conversation about freedom. Isn't it wonderful to be free? Yes, oh, it's good. I love I love the 4th of July. I love, listen, y'all might like hot dogs. 800, how many million, Greg?
150 million.
150 million hot dogs. 100 million of those Jim ate. Sarah, too. Those bean blossoms are in the hot dogs, I tell you. Me, I'm into ribs. If you're fixing ribs this 4th of July, call me. But you better fix more, okay? As you're starting a conversation, you're talking about the celebration of this, it's a wonderful opportunity to say, you know, I'm free. I'm so glad that I'm free. And they go, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And I'm glad that I'm really free. They're going to go, huh? What you talking about? Or I'm glad that I have experienced the ultimate freedom. Just using that little word. That's going to start a conversation. Now you may go, I don't want to get into that conversation. It's a perfect opportunity for you to witness to somebody. And tell, you go, well, what do I tell them? Just tell them about your experience of being free. Because if we believe what the book says, and if we believe that those that aren't free are bound, and they're going to live without God when they die, and they're going to go to a place called hell that was never intended for them, but for the devil and his angels, then we need to share the message of real freedom. That's what Always is all about. It's not about us getting together and having a fellowship or singing or remodeling or this or that. It's all about sharing the message of real freedom. Dr. Martin Luther King, some like him, some hate him. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Wonderful words. There's some of you in this place today, and you're not really free. And you don't really want to deal with it. But the Holy Spirit is here today, and He's asking you to deal with it today. He's asking you to take the chance, and I want you to be able to answer to yourself, am I really free? Am I really free? Have I experienced the freedom that comes with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That I'm freed from the burden of my sin, and I'm freed from the truth of the penalty of that sin. That is a hallelujah moment. If you're not, then I urge you, I beg you, I encourage you today. Find that freedom. It's really simple. Doesn't cost a thing. Won't cost you anything but that which is killing you and that which is going to sentence you to a place you don't want to go. And it will start a new relationship for you that you can't believe. I want you to bow your head with me. If you're not really free, if you can't say, yes, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not you know who He is, not I've been to church, not I was... And I don't care if you were baptized. I don't care if your mom and daddy own the property the building sits on. There has come a point in my life when I realized that I needed to be free from my sinfulness. Because all is sin. I'm no better and I'm no worse than the next person, but I am a sinner. I want to get rid of that sin. And I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to be really free. If you'll pray that prayer today, if you'll say, Lord Jesus, I want to be free of my sin. I want you to forgive me of my sin. And I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior. And I want to learn how for you to be my Lord, for it's so much more than Savior. I want to be free today. If you prayed that prayer, it's just that easy. Admitting you're a sinner, asking the Lord to forgive you of your sin and come into your life, you are free. You are now free. And I pray that you have. For those of us that have prayed that prayer many years ago and we've lived under the freedom of the American flag, but under the freedom of the cross. May we take the opportunity this week to share with someone that needs to know about the ultimate freedom. They may not respond immediately, But may we share that truth, that which you've done for us, and Lord, we'll leave the results up to you. We will sow the seed, and we will water the seed, and we will maybe be fortunate enough to reap it. Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you, if you know someone in your family, maybe your wife, maybe your husband, maybe your children, that aren't ultimately free, that I want you to do something. I know sometimes telling them or encouraging, well, I encourage them to come to church. Listen, there's some churches I don't want people to go to. I'm serious, okay? Rose and I are celebrating yesterday. We celebrated 38 years. And it was the most exciting anniversary time we've had. On my first anniversary at 7 o'clock in the morning, Rose's father had me out picking corn. Mosquitoes bigger than country crows. City crows, I mean. Yesterday morning, Rose's mother drags me out in the yard to pick cherry tomatoes. I thought after 38 years, I haven't really celebrated yet. But that's not why we're celebrating. We have found out recently, and it's been confirmed, that a friend of ours that was Native American, who we love, I love her as much as my own family. And we had witnessed to her, and we had prayed for her, and we had shared with her, and we had hoped for her. And Reba's words always were, and I had done her mother's funeral, who was a Christian, and her sister's a Christian. But Reba said that you have your faith, I have mine. I found out recently, because I never stopped praying for her, and I don't think Rose did either, that she had moved away, and I thought, you know, Lord, the day I hear Reba dies, I'm going to mourn, because I know Reba's not going to heaven. Well, her prayers have been answered. She met somebody who was a Christian. She not only has confessed Christ, she's been baptized, and now my friend who I would go to war with and for is going to be there with me. She now knows the ultimate freedom. Haven't had the chance to talk to her. Can't wait till I do. Because I'm going to say, what took you so long? Pray for them. Pray for our church. Pray for our community. And as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, if you prayed that prayer, Jesus said two things. He said, I want you to pray that prayer, and I want you to mean it, and I will come into your heart. He said, the second thing I want you to do, when you're ready, and you can't wait forever, he said, I want you to confess it. I want you to tell others what you've done. He said, if you will confess me before men, if you're not afraid to say that I'm not afraid to say I'm a Christian, then I'll confess you to my Father. When you stand before my Father, I'll say, that one's with me. They're really free. At some point, you're going to have to do that. But if you prayed that prayer, you're really free. If you've been free for a long time, take this week, maybe today, maybe at lunch, maybe something, just to talk about the ultimate freedom. Say, man, we had fun at church today. The preacher let us out earlier, and he talked about the ultimate freedom. Well, what's the ultimate freedom? What's that? There's your chance. It's the freedom that's offered us through Christ and a personal relationship with Him by asking forgiveness of our sin. Most of them will go, oh, they might say, well, tell me more. Or they might surprise you and say, I've done that. And many of you have. As we sing our hymn of invitation, I'll be glad to hear any that would like to make a decision. If you want to come to this altar and pray and just say, thank you. I thank you that I'm an American, but it wouldn't matter if I was a Muslim, as far as my nationality. It wouldn't matter if I was a Jew, if I was Chinese or Japanese, or if I was in China. If I found Christ, I'm truly free. Let's stand together.